This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Yet another indicator today that the after effects of the grounding of the Boeing 737 MAX aren't done trickling down through this economy. Southwest Airlines said this morning it's going to speed up its consolidation at LaGuardia Airport in New York, shut things down at Newark, because, to quote Southwest CEO Gary Kelly, it's really all about the MAX. It's the only issue, Kelly said. The FAA says there is no timeline for getting the MAX back in the air, and while Gary Kelly has said he is empathetic to Boeing's problems, he's got his own company to run, right? Sandra Sucher and Shailene Gupta have a five-part series out in the Harvard Business Review right now about the thing at the heart, really, of what is going on with Boeing and a lot of other companies in this economy. The series is called Broken Trust. Thanks to you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sandra, let me start with you and ask you what might seem like a foundational question, but I think it has to be asked. How do companies earn trust to begin with? And I realize there's lots of layers to trust, but, you know, give me the elevator pitch.
So first place you have to ask, who is doing the trusting? Mm. And so companies are trusted by customers, by employees, by investors, and by the public, by regulators. And so they're always being judged. But they really do have to have an attitude that I really want to be trusted by each of these groups. But each one of these groups wants a different thing from me. Well, and so I've got to figure out how I'm going to make that work.
That's exactly right. So, Shailene, let me ask you, if I am a consumer of Facebook, shall we say, I want something different from Facebook than a Facebook shareholder wants, right? Facebook shareholder wants maximization of profits and a rising share price. The consumer wants, well, first of all, you know, pictures of relatives and, you know, high school friends and all this jazz, but also protection of data and not to be advertised too much and all of that.
That's exactly the tricky bit that companies right. are facing. They have to balance all of these different needs. So the classic case that Sandra and I like to use to illustrate the trust problem is Uber, for example. So mm-hmm. we trust Uber to get us from point A to point B, right? But on the other hand, we don't feel good about it. And the reason we feel so conflicted about Uber is, you know, we don't feel great about how they treat their employees. There's all this stuff coming out about what they've done to their competitor Lyft mm-hmm. and using really unfair tactics. And so the point is, Uber is still in business. We still use them because we trust them to be competent. But Uber has also suffered some major losses, like when it was pounded because all of the news about these scandals came out. Right. Lyft started growing at twice the rate.
Which gets me to actually something I thought was really interesting in this series, Sandra, which was the popular conception out there, and I admit I have it, is that the trust that people and regulators and everybody have in corporations is fragile. You two say, in fact, it's quite robust.
Oh, yeah. That was, I think, for us, the biggest aha of the research we've done, which is we all have this idea that trust is fragile, that once lost, it can never be regained. But let me tell you a story about a company that completely proves why that's not true.
Okay.
So the company's name is Recruit Holdings. They are a huge, at this point, giant tech firm in Japan. Now, in the late 1980s, their founder started a scandal that was so large that the Prime Minister of Japan and his entire cabinet all had to resign their positions. So the way that they went about this was that they went back to their customers and they admitted what had happened and they told the truth about what it was that they had done.
Wow.
And how it was that they learned from this about the kind of company they wanted to be. So you can definitely get it back, but it's not like it's easy to do that. You know, you have to do the kinds of things that a company like Recruit did.
Well, let me turn you now then, Shailene, to another company in the news, a completely different company, completely different line of work, Boeing, which has had, as we know, a very rough 6 or 8 months because of those two crashes of the 737 MAX. And we get now to the area of apology and getting trust back. You two write that Dennis Muilenburg, the CEO of Boeing, did not do a good job, we shall say, in his apology tour, as it were.
That's putting it lightly.
Yeah. Well, I was being gentle. Okay, he messed it up. He did a terrible job in the apology. How bad was it, and can Boeing recover from this? And I should tell you, just for the record here, we tried to get Mr. Muilenburg on to talk about this, and Boeing has declined politely. But anyway, so can Boeing recover? What are they doing?
I'm actually going to pass this one to Sandra because Boeing is her specialty.
Yep. Yeah, so Boeing, the reason why the apology was so awful were two big things. One is it really didn't focus on the people who they harmed. And so if you've done something where more than, 300 people lose their lives in two airplane crashes, the very first thing the public wants to hear is that you are unbelievably sorry. The second step is to tell the truth about what happened. And so the problem with Boeing is that you've got all these investigative reporters finding all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Now, that automatically is going to mean that you don't think you can trust them, because if they're not going to tell the truth about what they did wrong, how do you know that they know what they did wrong or that they could even fix it?
Trust can be kind of amorphous, right? So how do you define it, I guess, just as a way to wrap this up?
So trust is actually a willingness to make yourself vulnerable to the behaviors and intentions of one other person or a company. And all of these companies we've been talking about, they have enormous power over all of the stakeholders that depend on them. And so that's why trust is so important. It's why we care about it so much. It's because we've given this power away, and we want to make sure that it's being used well.
Sandra Setcher and Shalene Gupta at the Harvard Business School, a five-part series on trust and the crisis they're in, actually. It's kind of fascinating, in the Harvard Business Review. Thanks to you both.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.